Few in number again. I hope we have a great service today. We thank God for another opportunity to be here at Tabernacle, here in the Sunday School Hour. Thank you for being here, and we appreciate all the Sunday School teachers, and we need to pray for our pastor. He's been sick for several days, and I believe one of his daughters has got the flu, so pray for the whole family that God will touch them and bring them back to health. Pray for the service today. Pray that God will intervene and the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and lives. Pray for Brother Doug Overby. He'll be preaching this morning. And then the gentleman from Chilhowee will be preaching tonight. So pray for these two men. So we appreciate you being here. A lot of people still sick. And we just pray that God will intervene and heal them. And we thank God for our church family. All right, let's go to the bulletin here and just cover a few announcements this morning. Don't forget about the teen rally on February the 10th, Buffalo Ridge. See Rob, any information on that. We're going to have a baptism in the AM service on February the 11th. Communion in the PM service, don't forget that. And the senior luncheon is back at Mad Greek Restaurant on February the 15th. That's going to be at 11:30 in the afternoon, and I believe that's going to be on a Thursday, the day after Valentine's Day. So seniors, don't forget that. Saturday men's meeting on the February 17th with John Reynolds speaking, and then that Sunday the 18th, he'll be preaching for us in the AM and PM service. So pray for these matters. The prayer chain captains this morning is going to be, or for all week, excuse me, is Harold and Debbie Lane. So if you have a prayer need, don't hesitate to call, and we appreciate that. All righty. Has anybody got any prayer requests this morning we need to pray about? Make known to the church. I want you to pray for Sandy. I was telling a few couple of them this morning that she has had stomach problems for years, and she's been to two different doctors, and she's just miserable. And of course, the doctors are telling her it's this IBS that she's had for 20-some years, so pray for her. She's not feeling a bit good. And especially pray for Sandy. We lost our little puppy this past week. He was 16 years old, and we had to put him down. That was a sad day. So just remember Sandy. That Chico followed her everywhere in the house, every room she went. And we're going to miss him, but we just pray that God's grace will be sufficient. Pray for our two daughters, Candy and Charity, that God will bring them back. Pray for Buck's granddaughter, Kaylee, that the Lord will bring her back. Don't forget to pray for Robert and Phyllis. We miss them. I talked to Phyllis, I don't know, 5 or 6 days ago, and she's on the mend, but Robert's not doing well, so please pray for Robert. Philip Hillman's here today. His surgery went well. He's doing good. Don't forget Ron and Joan. I spoke with Joan a few days ago, and Ron apparently has got the flu, so I'm not sure if he's on the mend, but pray for Ron and Joan. They'd love to be here, especially Joan. She'd love to be here in Sunday school. I called Miss Ressa Carter this morning, and she is home, but she just sounds so weak. She's not able to come to church yet. She's got another doctor's appointment on Tuesday. Just pray for Ressa. I know she misses her Sunday school class. She misses her church family, and just pray that God will strengthen her, that she'll be able to come back to church. Don't forget to pray for Ray and Sally. We miss them. Hubert and Margie is usually here at the 11 o'clock worship. Joe Robinette's doing good. Pray for him. And Phyllis always wants us to pray for Tina Trout, their daughter. She's apparently had several tests done. I don't know how they came out, but she's having some problems, so pray for her. And then Patsy's twin sister, Phyllis's twin sister, Patsy, and her husband, Charles, has got health problems. Pray for them. Grace Sexton, pray for her. She's supposed to have a lot of tests done, so she's got stomach issues. Pray for her. And Bruce Teer, that sometimes joins us, that sings and plays the guitar, he wants us to always pray for his wife, Norma, and daughter-in-law, Lori, so they've got some health issues. And don't forget Mark Williams. He's supposed to have an MRI done on his knee, I believe, this past week, so we pray for that situation. Okay, anybody else have a prayer request this morning? All righty. We appreciate you being here and appreciate our church and what it means to us. All right, let's go to Lord in prayer if we could. Father, we praise you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that we have again to be here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. We thank you for our church family, how we love them. We pray and lift up our pastor today and his family. Lord, I pray that you'll touch them, work through the medicines and touch them. You're the great physician. We pray that you'll touch them and heal them, that they'll be able to come back to church soon, Father. Be with these others that we mentioned, Father. So many that can't come, Father. We think of Ron and Joan. We think of Miss Ressa, Hubert and Margie, Ray and Sally. Please, Lord, touch them. Robert and Phyllis, please give them a special touch. Be with Sandy this morning. Please touch her, Lord, and give her strength. We pray for those that are gone away from the fold. We think of Candy and Charity, our daughters, and we think of Buck's granddaughter, Kayla. Father, just be with them, Lord. Please bring them back to the fold, Father, that they've been taught what's right and Bible promises and your word, Father, and we know that you're going to bring them back. We think of James Foster, always wants us to pray for his son in California for salvation. And please, Lord, be with this war that's going on in Israel. Lord, I pray that you'll make peace when you can, Father, and when you know what's going on, we leave it in your hands. Thank you for this church, what it means to us. Be with all the Sunday school teachers. Empower us with thy word. Please, Lord, touch Brother Doug Overby this morning, Father, as he preaches to us this morning. Empower him with your word, and we thank you for the message that he has for us. And Father, we do pray for anyone in our Sunday school classes or the 11 o'clock worship that's lost without the Savior, that today will be the day for salvation for them, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for what you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about something this morning that we've touched a little bit on different lessons, but I've kind of put it together. Spiritual blessings a Christian cannot do without. You know, as a Christian and God's children, we are blessed with so many spiritual blessings day by day. And we need to be thankful each day for what he's given us. We as God's people cannot live without these blessings. And we think of such things as prayer. We think of our Bible. We think of the love of Jesus, our Christian friends, our family, relationships. We can go on and on. Our children, grandchildren, transportation to our jobs, health, food, shelter. We can go on and on about the blessings that God gives us. And we need to be thankful, just not on Sunday, but every single day of the year. We need to be thankful for what God's given us and what he's brought us. And sometimes we as Christians get in the habit of always asking God to meet our needs, which is great. He understands our burdens. But let's don't forget to thank him throughout the year for the blessings, the spiritual blessings that he gives us and bestows upon us. Never take them for granted. I've said that before, but never take for granted what God gives us when it comes to his spiritual blessings. And it also, when we thank God for his spiritual blessings and we are close to the Lord, and it'll keep us from complaining, and we can always praise him. But I want to take it a step further this morning. I want to talk about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, that we believers, as we live day by day by day, we can't do without. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 1, I love these verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And then verse number 7, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Thank God for his word there in Ephesians. I want to give you 6 spiritual blessings this morning that we can't do without. I believe the first one is Christ's sinlessness. You know, Christ is the only perfect one that's ever lived on this earth. He is sinless. He's the Almighty God, omnipotent. Never did sin. And we ought to acknowledge that. That's a blessing that we have, that we can serve the Lord Jesus, who is sinless and never did sin. He's the only perfect one that ever lived. He indeed was tempted just like we are. He was a physical man just like us, physical in the flesh. And he never did sin. He was called for a purpose. And he was the perfect one. And through his adult life, with all the temptation he went through, through the agonizing crucifixion, the burial, the resurrection, never did sin one time. With what our Lord went through, he was so humbled before the Father that he didn't have to retaliate, didn't have to sin. He knew it was all for a good purpose, and he was following his Heavenly Father's command. One Christian writer put it this way: in the womb of his mother, God's Holy Spirit protected him from the imperfection of the flesh of his sinful mother. That's a pretty good way of putting it. So he lived a blameless life. And we know the most greatest story ever told is when he went to the cross and died for our sins. Won't be a better picture in history that we can look at Christ and his sinless life. I want to go over to Hebrews chapter number 4. Just one verse, Hebrews 4:15. It says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we were, yet without sin." We praise God for that. Look at the second blessing. We love this one: Christ shed blood. When's the last time we really thank Christ for his shed blood? He shed his blood for all mankind because we can have forgiveness through the Lord Jesus. We can have salvation. And we can't have it. We can't have any forgiveness. We can't have salvation. We can't have eternal life without the blood of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? We can't have eternal life. We can't have that salvation without the shedding of blood of our Lord and Savior. It's just a beautiful picture. When we see Christ, he was willing to go to the cross and shed his blood for each and every one of us. So everyone that confessed that Jesus Christ shed his blood, we can do that too. Pastors have preached on it, on the shedding of the blood. Many songs have been written on it, on the blood of Christ. And the Word of God proclaims it throughout Scripture. And we thank God for the blood of Christ. The hymns that I'm thinking about that's coming to my mind is "Nothing But the Blood." "Are You Washed in the Blood?" "Jesus Paid It All." We could go on and on about the old songs that we've sung about the blood of Christ. And you see, that's what we have to believe in. We have to believe in that shedding of blood on the cross when Christ went and shed his blood on the old rugged cross. He went through what we'll never know, the agony and the torture that he went through. But he did it for us. He shed his blood for each and every one of us. And we thank God for the blood because of that blood, we can be saved through Jesus Christ and our life can be changed. Each one of us have people in the back of our mind that's lost without Christ. We've prayed for them and we can never give up because Christ can save to the uttermost. Don't matter how many years they've been away from God, he can save to the uttermost. And they can believe in that shed blood because he shed it for each and every one of us. I want to read you another verse in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 22. Hebrews 9:22. It says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." And I want to skip over here back to Romans. As you know, Romans is my favorite book, but in chapter number 5, I want to read to you Romans 5, verses 9 and 10. I love these verses. Romans 5, 9 and 10, it says, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Well, we thank God for the blood of Christ, what it did for us. Have you accepted that shed blood? Have you accepted Christ? He can save to the uttermost. And I think everyone in this room's probably been saved, but we all have family and friends, people we rub shoulders with and we've prayed for, never give up on them, because God can save them. Look at number three. I believe the third spiritual blessing that we can't do without is Christ demands true holiness in his children. As a world and as a nation, as a community, we're not seeing true holiness in people's lives. But he wants us as saved people, our lives, to display true holiness as long as we live day by day. I looked up the word, a Bible definition for holy. It says a separation from what is common or unclean and living a consecrated life before God. That sounds like a Christian to me. Sounds like a life that we need to be living. We need to be holy before God. He expects our life to be holy. He don't want us to live a life of filth and evil and corruption. He wants us to live a life that's separated for him. And we need to be holy. As believers, we are sanctified unto God. We have to be real careful as we live our life in this world, because the secular world will draw us away from that kind of life. It's all around us. We can love the sinner, but we don't love the sin. The secular world has other plans to live for the devil, to live for themselves. But God wants us as his chosen people to live a life that's separated and it's holy unto him. It's a life of discipline, a life of focus, a life of attention to matters specified to godly living. I hope that we have that desire. No, we'll never be perfect like our Lord Jesus, but we can have a desire to live a life that's separated unto God, pleasing to him. And that should be our desire every day that we live. A writer put it this way: to live a holy life is disconnect from the sinful ways, unquote. I like that. Disconnect from sinful ways and live a life that's holy unto God. I think he expects that out of us. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy. If you've got family, if you've got neighbors, people that you work with that's lost, don't care much about the church or about God's word, it can be a challenge, because those kind of people will try to drag you down. They'll ask questions, why do you think the Christian life's the way to go? Why do you go to church? They're going to ask questions like that, and we can answer them. If we've been saved any length of time, we can answer those questions because we love our Lord. We want to worship him in the local church and praise him for what he's done for us. I want to go over to 2 Corinthians. I love this verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and it's the very first verse in the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, that verse tells it all. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. I want to read that again. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I hope that we as children of God will fear him. We need to fear God, because living for him, if we say that we're saved and born again and we live like the devil, we've got some things coming our way. And I believe that God wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to live that holy life. He wants us to fear him. Fearing God is a great attribute to every Christian. So I believe he really demands that true holiness out of all of his people. Don't matter what your profession is, don't matter what your age is, he wants us to be holy unto him and live a life that's pleasing to him. And I think that each one of us can see that. Look at number four as we need to move on. I believe the fourth spiritual blessing that we cannot live without is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't matter if you've been saved one day or 50 years, we ought to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, we can talk to him any day of the week. If we have burdens and needs, we can talk to him. If we want to thank him for what he's done, we can talk to him. We need to do this more often, probably every day of our lives. Don't wait just on Sunday. Those other 6 days, he wants us to praise him, and we ought to have that personal relationship with Christ that we can talk to him anytime, day or night. He goes with us to work. We thank him for his protection, thank him for keeping us from yielding to temptation, praising him for his grace and love. Do we really have that personal relationship with Christ? Please don't wait just on Sunday to praise him. We need to praise him every day of the week because of what he's done for us. And we ought to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as other people look at our life is a testimony. Yeah, our tongue can be a testimony as far as witnessing, but our life's going to be a testimony everywhere we go. Don't matter if it's in your neighborhood, at work, down at the Walmart, grocery store, wherever we go. People that know us, do they know there's a difference in our life? We talked about that several Sundays ago, having a difference in our life and having a peculiar life. The Bible says that we're peculiar, and we should be if we're living for Christ. We're peculiar compared to the secular world. We live that peculiar life that Jesus talks about. Talking to him daily and knowing he is in control of our life and knows every burden that we carry. Isn't that something? That's why he should be our closest friend. He's the one that saved us. That Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit's been there since the very day we were saved. And it makes a difference in our life. That Holy Spirit can lead, guide, and direct us. So we ought to have that personal relationship with Christ that we know that we can talk to him day or night. I remember seeing the old programs years ago on Billy Graham. He taught huge, huge amounts of people the gospel. It's unheard. Only heaven will know how many souls were saved under his ministry. And he kept at it to a very old age. And he knew what it was to have that personal relationship with Christ. And I hope that we do as God's children. I want to go over to Psalms chapter 73. This verse in Psalms I really love, but chapter 73, and it's verses 26 through 28. Psalm 73, verses 26 through 28, it says, these are the last three verses in the chapter. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. And listen to verse number 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. David knew what it was to praise him there in Psalms. And I hope that we know what it is to have that personal relationship with Christ, that we can walk with him day by day by day. You know, if we're having a good day, we can talk to him. If we're having a bad day, we can talk to him. That's what it really means to have that personal relationship with him. Look at number five. I believe the fifth spiritual blessing we can't live without is that genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Do we really have that kind of faith that we know that he's in control of our life? That he's in control of this universe? How many folks come to church and don't have the faith that Jesus Christ really died for their sins and have the faith that the Bible is 100% true? Do we really believe that as God's people? Do we have the faith that God's in control of everything that happens to us? He knows about our burdens. He knows about people that we love that's lost. I hope that we have that kind of faith that we know that God is in control. This is the kind of faith that we have to live a victorious Christian life. We have to have that faith. And yeah, there's going to be things that happen in our life that tends to diminish our faith. I understand that. But down deep inside, we ought to have that joy that we have the faith in Christ no matter what happens in life. And I hope that we have that kind of faith. We don't want to have a faith that's weak, We want to have a strong faith, especially when hard times come or we go through trials or storms. We ought to have that faith that God's in control. Because what God has done for us, His timing is perfect. He knows everything about us. That faith that we have in Christ, it ought to be a strong faith. And believe me, the devil will try his best to diminish our faith. He'll try it every day. He'll try to diminish our faith with things that happen, things that we go through in life. But God wants us to stay strong. It's not always easy. That's why we have to stay in His Word. We have to have that personal relationship that we talked about a while ago. Faith in Christ. Do you have that strong faith? I hope that we do. I hope that all of us do. Back over in Hebrews chapter 10, these are very familiar verses, but Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. Let me read those to you. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Almost lost my place there. And verse number 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." That makes it pretty plain. We can have that faith, that strong faith in Christ as we live our Christian life. And then back over in Romans chapter number 5, the first two verses in chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace within we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Don't let the devil rob your faith, because he will if we let him. Don't let him rob your faith. I got something I want to read you here. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the things not seen," as it talks about in Hebrews chapter 1. From this particular passage, we see that the central feature of faith is confidence and trust. In the Bible, the opposite of faith is God and His promises. I hope that we'll have that strong faith in the Lord as we live our life. That genuine, strong faith that we need as we live our life for Christ. And believe me, things can happen in this world, in our personal lives. We can go through storms and trials, and that's when Satan works the best. He'll try to rob us of our faith. No matter what we go through, if we have that personal relationship with Christ as we talked about a while ago, we can have that genuine faith. We can have that strong faith that He wants us to have. I just thought of something. It's not really, didn't have it part of the lesson, but I just now thought of a scripture in Ephesians I want to read to you. Ephesians is a wonderful book, but remember chapter 6? It talks about putting on the whole armor of God. I just thought about that. I just want to read that. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 11. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Do we have that kind of faith? "That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And then verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Did you hear that verse 16 that we read? "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." It's a challenge. You know, I've heard people say in past years, "Why do you live the Christian life? It's so boring, isn't it?" Little do they know, The Christian life is the most wonderful life that we could live. When we go through challenges, when we go through storms, we have Christ on our side. The lost don't. The lost people that's never been saved don't have Christ on their side. So I hope that we'll have that genuine, strong faith as we live for the Lord. Look at number 6. The final one here, the blessing, spiritual blessing we can't do without. Knowing 100% sure that we've been saved. Can you imagine? I've talked to people in past years, and I don't understand it, but they think that they're going to heaven because they've been good. They think that they're going to reach the pearly gates because they've done this and done that. We know the scripture, what it teaches. But we, as you know, salvation is a blessing and a joy that we have heaven as our home. And we as God's people know that we had to come to a point in our life that we had to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That he shed that blood that we talked about. He shed the blood on the cross of Calvary for our sins that we might have forgiveness through him. But it is a sad picture that people don't know for sure, 100% sure that they're saved. But it's not anything difficult or hard to understand. The Bible makes it clear and simple. We can be saved and we can know it 100% sure down in our own heart. We can accept the perfect work, the finished work, the shedding of the blood that Jesus Christ did for us. And it's so important. It'll probably be the greatest decision that we'll ever make in our life. And, you know, we've made decisions in our life almost every day. The big decisions we make, buying a home, buying a car, who we're going to marry, who our Christian friends are going to be, we can go on and on, but the biggest decision we'll ever make in our life is that we're going to accept Christ as our personal Savior. And sad to say, you don't have to go to the mission field. You don't have to go to a foreign country or another state. There's people right here in our own community that's lost without the Savior. And I believe that this is a blessing to us, that when we're saved and born again, we have something the world don't have, and that's eternal life. Have you ever thought about that? The loved ones that's gone before us, our church family, some of them's gone before us. We don't know when our life's going to be over. We have no idea. We don't know. God knows. But are we, if we've been saved and know that we've been saved 100% sure, we have a heavenly home waiting for us. It's just so simple. And oh, what a picture it's going to be. It's going to be nothing like anything down here. The Bible makes it clear what heaven's going to be like. We'll be able to see our loved ones. We will recognize our loved ones. That's even exciting to me. We'll recognize those loved ones that's gone on before us. We'll know who they are. We'll get to fellowship with them. Can you imagine? But the lost don't have that promise. The lost world does not have that promise. But we do, because we know we've been saved and born again. And we want so many other people that's around us that's lost to be saved. Back over here, I've got a few scriptures I want to read. It says in Romans, we ought to know these verses by heart, but Romans chapter number 3, verses 24 and 25. Romans 3, 24 and 25, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, and through the forbearance of God. Wow. Another verse in Romans, we should know this by heart. We've heard it all of our lives, but we should know that it's always true. In Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, the lost world wants to make it difficult, but it's really a simple salvation. We have to do it with our heart. We have to ask God to forgive us of our sins, to repent, to be sorry for our past life. That's the state that we become when we want to be saved. And we can know 100% sure that we've been saved. We can know it. Salvation is only a spiritual blessing to those that have accepted what Christ did. His shed blood on the cross, the agony that he went through, the pain that he went through. You see, we can know 100% sure. The Bible makes it clear that we've been saved and born again. I'm going to read you something here. It says, faith in Jesus Christ is acknowledging the truth of everything that God has revealed in his word, trusting him, and also receiving and resting on him alone for salvation as he offered to us in the gospel. Jesus was always teaching that with God nothing is impossible, so all things are possible to those who have the great faith, and to those who believe can always be saved. What about that? Have you made that decision today? I heard a pastor say one time that he believes that in every church, don't matter what denomination, every church has people that's been going to church Sunday after Sunday that's never been saved. Let's don't be one of those people. Yeah, we can come to church and we can enjoy the fellowship, we can enjoy the old hymns of Zion, and we can enjoy the choir, enjoy the preached word. But down in our own heart, have we accepted what Jesus did for us? Have we accepted the shed blood? Have we accepted his death on the cross? Have we accepted the pain that he bore for us? You see, in our heart, we can believe that and ask Christ to come into our heart and he can save us. Nothing difficult about that. There's people out there making the gospel difficult, but it's never been difficult. It's been a simple salvation. And I know that we all that's been saved and born again, we all have family, we all have friends, people we work with that's lost. Never give up on them. Because God can save to the uttermost, it don't matter what their past is. Don't matter. And I guess the sad part is, we mentioned this a few Sundays ago, there's so many people that serve the Lord for 5, 10, 15, 20 years or more and turn their back on him. Have nothing to do with the church. Nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with Christian fellowship. They've went the other way for some reason. I don't understand it, but they have. And we need to keep on praying that God will bring them back to the fold. And sometimes we question God, you know, his timing, but his timing is perfect. And I know that as God's people here at Tabernacle, if we've been saved and born again, it's made a difference in our life. It don't matter how many years ago it's been. You can be saved one day or 50 years. It's made a difference in our life. Where would we be if we never accepted Christ as our personal Savior? Well, most of us wouldn't even be in this church this morning. You ever thought about that? So I hope that we'll take these spiritual blessings that we can't live without, and we'll apply them to our life, and we'll understand what it is to have these blessings and how they affect us. All right, we're running out of time. Does anybody have anything to say or add to this morning? Don't forget to pray for Brother Doug. He'll be preaching this morning, and the gentleman from Chilhowee will be preaching tonight. Please pray for our pastor and his family, that God will touch them and heal them and bring them back to here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. All right. Thank you for coming. Brother Larry, if you don't mind, dismiss us in prayer this morning. Mm-hmm.